We greet you this morning in the name of Jesus. Good to be with you here today. Appreciated the Sunday school lesson, what we heard there. Appreciated that. So, I'd like to go into a message here this morning. There was a thought that kept coming back to me as I was thinking what to share, some notes I had, something that I had shared at home some time ago. This isn't a real deep doctrinal subject, but it's rather something I'd like to encourage us all personally in our lives. And some of it may be somewhat rambling. I hope you can pull this together, or I hope we can, so it'll be an encouragement to all of you. I actually have about three titles to kind of bring the three different aspects of this together, but you might have to think through this a little bit, but expecting the unexpected. Expecting the unexpected. Also have a thought here, catching a vision of what God can do. And kind of along with that, being available for God. If you can kind of tie that all together there. We're expecting something that is, we're really not expecting. We're out of the ordinary. Maybe that's a contradiction. I hope you'll understand here as we go along. But it's also catching a vision of what God can do and would like to do through us. And that brings us to the thought of being available for God. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So the message this morning, I trust we can encourage your faith in an infinite God who, His knowledge is infinite, His power is infinite, and when you put those things together, what could be accomplished? We'd like to also encourage a commitment and a surrender to the Lord. Obedience to this great God so that He can work through us and that we would see ourselves as vessels in His hand to accomplish what He wants done here on this earth. With God, all things are possible. Now, I'd like to go to just a little bit different thought, and I suppose it's what's kind of picked my interest in this subject. But I'd like to think a little bit about form and routine in our lives. And I'd like to, for all of you personally here this morning, you all who are followers of the Lord, to think of this. How does God view you? Why are you saved? What is your purpose for being here? But we all as humans tend to fall into a routine and a form, whether it's in just our natural lives or whether it's in church life. We tend to fall into a form and a routine. And this can become a snare to us. Now, I don't want you to go away from here saying that that I'm against form, but rather we need to use it in a right way and view it in a right way. There's a scripture in 2 Timothy 3:5, at least speaking of the end time, where it speaks of those who have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Now, I realize people right away say, well, maybe they look at conservatism in that way. Those who hold to a pretty rigid form and pass it on from one generation to the next. And they say, well, that's just a dead form. There's no power. But I believe the fact of the matter is that godliness does have its expression in form. And the problem is when we begin to trust the form rather than a connection with God. But godliness will create a form. And there is a counterverse to that. Or I shouldn't say counter. The Bible does not contradict itself. It brings the other side where in Titus, I believe it's in the book of Titus, it says they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him. And so we have that also. Those who would speak of a relationship with God, but there's no form, nothing there that really verifies that spiritual life either. And I believe that the form is good. But when form and our routine get in the way of God using us, then we need to reevaluate where we're at and make ourselves available for God. Again, it's not throwing away the form, but allowing God to work in and through us. I'd also like to say that this morning I'm not at all advocating an undisciplined life. Maybe thinking more personally or in our homes. But I think all of us, maybe more to some to more a greater degree than others, become very routine in our lives. And I thought of a kind of a homey illustration. I think it was 10, 12 years ago. I got this idea I'd like to have a milk cow. And I noticed some of you fellows who grew up on a dairy, you'd wonder, why would anybody want to do that? But I like that. I like the idea of being self-sufficient and having our own, producing what we use and so on. So we got Swiss Miss. She was a brown Swiss. She didn't give chocolate milk, but her name was Swiss Miss. But there was something about that I came to enjoy. Now, one thing, well, I'll skip that. But one thing it was good for me and I liked. The cow needed to be milked in the morning, needed to be milked in the evening. And so there was a form or a routine that developed. You get the milker, get the pail to wash the cow, go out to the barn, throw the feed in the trough. She'd come in, close the stanchion, sit down, washroom. Ike, the dog, would come and sit beside me. And he was waiting for that routine of a squirt of milk into his mouth. And everything just went usually, routine. And I liked that. But you know, it was kind of interesting. Sometimes, even if it was a good thing that kind of put me out of the routine, I didn't care for that much. Even if maybe the cow had just freshened and maybe the milker wouldn't hardly hold all the milk from a milking, and you know, how do you deal with that? And things out of the routine or the ordinary, kind of, we'd sooner like for things to just go like clockwork. Well, in other areas of life, we can become very routine. And we have a form that we go through. Maybe it's in your daily devotions. It's good to have a form. It's good to have a routine every morning or every evening for you to try to set some time aside to read the Word and to pray. But it's very easy for us to get into a routine and a form that we go through it. We read the Word, our minds might be kind of somewhere else, but we've gone through the form. We may pray. We may pray for the lost. But we really don't hardly expect that the prayers will be answered. And that could be said in our prayer meetings, I think of that. You know, we go through our routines and we have our prayer requests. And prayer requests that have been given for years about individuals. And we kind of salve our conscience that we've given this prayer request and we're going to pray for them again. But we hardly even expect that God would do anything. But we've gone through the form. Maybe it's even in our personal lives, as we in our personal devotions, we realize there's sin in our hearts, bad habits, whatever they may be. We may even pray about it, but we really don't expect the power of God to help us in that. We go to church, and again, I'm not advocating a lack of form in our church, but it can become a snare to us. The service opens, we have two or three songs, we have a devotion, we have prayer, you know the routine. And we come to expect that, and we come to feel comfortable in that, and then there's a good side to it. I'm not at all advocating chaos or disorganization in our services. But I think we need to guard against it. We need to evaluate, really. Is our form and our routine getting in the way of God really working through my life or speaking to me? We can come to church. We've got that routine. Church dismisses. We go home. We've got Sunday dinner. Family's there. While the ladies do the dishes, we sit down in the recliner and, it's our routine. So we come to church and there's visitors there. We didn't expect them. Now I realize you have a host family here, so maybe they're kind of... But we can become complacent in that, probably, that, well, the host will take care of it. But, you see, and maybe it's someone who has not grown up in a Christian home. They're coming here. You know, life would be just a little easier and a little more comfortable if I wouldn't have to deal with this. Maybe I'll have to have them over for Sunday dinner. But it becomes uncomfortable because it's kind of out of the routine. It's out of the normal. I'm going to give some examples from the Bible. I should have maybe read this better first, but I'd like for you to turn to me to Luke chapter 5. And I'd like to just look at some things that people had to deal with, things that were out of the normal, things that they allowed God to bring them something, to work in and through them, to bring circumstances that were out of the ordinary, that took them out of their routine. You see, it comes back to this. What are we here on earth for? Are we here for God to work through us and accomplish through our lives what He wants to accomplish, whether it's to help other people, whatever it may be? I'd like to read this little story here, Luke chapter 5, beginning of verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Him, that is Jesus, to hear the word of God, He stood by the lake of Gennesaret, this was the Sea of Galilee, and saw two ships standing by the lake, that the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon answering, said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And when they had this done, They enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, and saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. So let's get a picture here of just what happened. These fishermen had been fishing all night. And I think they had a routine. You fish all night, you come to shore, and you wash your nets, get everything ready, go home, go to bed, come back the next night. Nighttime was the time to fish. And so they had this routine, and so they had been fishing all night, wasn't good fishing, probably somewhat discouraged, and so they were out there washing their nets, getting ready for maybe the next night. Well, here come this man with a crowd of people behind him, and comes up there to them, and I can imagine Peter kind of looking, wondering, well, what's up now? And this man gets into the boat, and he tells Peter, you know, you push me out here a little bit. So Peter did, and this man caught. And I'm not sure if Peter and the other fishermen kept washing their nets, but probably were hearing what was being said. After the teaching was done, Jesus told him, you take the boat, go out into the deep there, and let down your nets. Well, this was totally out of the ordinary. Why should we do this? Daytime is not the time to fish. Why should we go out there and try that? We just tried not that long ago, and there was no fish. We've toiled all night and have taken nothing. And you know, if Peter would have just stopped with that and just walked away, they would have missed a blessing. But he brought up the objection, but then he said, nevertheless, at thy word, we will let down the net. So they did this. And as the story goes, they had a problem. They had so many fish, the net was beginning to break. They loaded the other ship. Both ships were beginning to sink. See, it was out of the ordinary. It was almost uncomfortable what was happening. It was almost scary. But there was a blessing as they gave themselves to being available to God and allowed God to work through them. And God's power would be shown. Now, through this whole thing, Peter somehow came to the realization, I think, that Jesus was not an ordinary man. But one of the things that when Jesus asked Peter to launch out into the deep, that Peter didn't realize that who he was speaking to, or the one who gave him this command, was the Creator of heaven and earth. The one who had created the fishes and certainly knew what he was doing. Back to our verse at the beginning. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts and your thoughts. And as they surrendered, as Peter surrendered himself to that and did what he was told, God was able to work through that. Again, there was a blessing. He took Jesus at his word. There was faith, obedience. I'd like to look at some other examples down through the history of the world and just look at how it took faith. These men and women were willing to step out of the routine, the ordinary. And they were available for God to work through them. Most of these are positive examples. And the first one I have here is that of Noah. Now God told Noah to go build an ark, and you know it hadn't rained a drop up to that time. There'd never been a flood. And I suppose Noah could have, I don't know what his occupation was, but he could have went ahead and just said, well, I don't believe this. This isn't going to happen. And just went ahead with his farming or whatever he did and just kept right on going, you know, the routine. But he believed God. He walked with God. He had a confidence in God. And so when God asked him to do that which was the unexpected by so many, the out of the ordinary, that he was able and willing to accept that, and he built an ark for the saving of his house. But it was something that was totally, totally out of the ordinary. But God had a plan. God in his wisdom, God in his power had a plan. I think of Abraham and Sarah. You know, they were getting older. Sarah was 90. And Abraham was 100. But God came and told them, he said, you're going to have a son. Out of the ordinary. And the scripture tells us in Genesis 17 and verse 17 and chapter 18 and verse 12 that both Abraham and Sarah both laughed. This seems so absurd. Have a child at this age? But they did have faith. The scriptures would say that they did have faith. They probably had to work through some of the doubts, but they would come back to this fact, well, what God says is true. But they both laughed. It was out of the ordinary. It was not natural. But one of the things that they failed to reckon with, that the Creator God who had created man and woman, and the reproductive process was certainly able to bring about life, even from a 90 and a 100-year-old. But they were willing to believe God. Out of the ordinary, but they believed God. And it was a real blessing, even to us today, that they were willing to be used of God. Those instruments, those vessels in God's hand. Another example we have in Numbers chapter 11. You remember the children of Israel. Moses had led them out of Egypt. And the children of Israel were complaining there was no meat. And there was 600,000 footmen. Maybe to get the real sense of that, I should just read what Moses' response was to this. And God had used Moses to perform many miracles. But in Numbers 11, verse 21, it says, Numbers 11. But it seemed totally impossible for God to provide meat for this great company. Numbers 11, verse 21. And Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen, and thou hast said, I will give them flesh that they may eat a whole month. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them, or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? The Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. And we know that God did provide the quail, but it was something out of the ordinary. It looked impossible from a human standpoint. But God was able. Nothing is too hard for God. We have an example of unbelief in 2 Kings. In the time of Elisha, there was a famine, and it was getting very desperate in the city. We have this in 2 Kings chapter 7. And God, speaking through Elisha, verse 1 said, "Tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." And there was a lord, or one of the kings, someone close to the king there, said, "Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" And he said, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof." And we know how that story was, that he was trampled down. But you see, it seemed so totally impossible. It was out of the ordinary. How could something to eat be sold so cheaply? Well, there are other examples. I think of the disciples I'd like to talk about Mary, the Virgin Mary. Gabriel was sent by God to this young woman who was not married and gave her the message that she would have a son. And this was totally out of the ordinary. Impossible. She said, "How can this be if I don't know a man?" And Gabriel told her that, "Is anything too hard for God?" Something to that effect. Mary's response was, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." So you see that there. It was something out of the ordinary, and yet she was willing to say, "Look, here I am. You use me." And God was able, through her, to bring the Savior into this world. I think of, we'll skip over some here, but I think of Peter in prison. We read about this in Acts chapter 12. And not only about Peter, but the church that was praying for him. Peter was in prison. It didn't look promising at all. James had been killed, and Herod was planning to bring out Peter, was it the next day, and to kill him. And the church was praying. They were praying during the night for Peter. And Peter was down there in prison, sleeping. And you remember the story, how an angel came, delivered Peter out of the prison. Peter came to the gate of where the believers were gathered there. They wouldn't believe it was Peter. Couldn't be. How could it be? He was in prison. It was out of the ordinary. I'm not sure what they were praying for. Maybe they were praying that Peter would just be faithful unto death. You see, God's ways are higher than my ways. And His thoughts and our thoughts. Can we have that kind of faith? That God is able to work beyond the ordinary and the routine. I think of Paul and Silas in prison. We read about that in Acts chapter 16. And at midnight, they were praying, singing praises to God. And there was an earthquake that shook that prison. And they had the opportunity to flee. Do you think they were expecting an earthquake? I really doubt it. But God was able to use them through that experience, something that was totally supernatural, out of the ordinary. And they seen it as an opportunity. They preached to that jailer, and the jailer and his house were converted. Do you doubt what God could do? Or can do. I thought of another example. Paul before King Agrippa. We have this in Acts chapter 26. And Agrippa, Herod Agrippa, was not a good man. And him and Bernice were there. Festus had had them there to listen to Paul, try to decide what charges to bring against him. And Paul preached mightily to that man, and these were not good people. Actually, Agrippa and Bernice were brother and sister, but it seemed like they were living in an immoral situation there. But Paul preached to them, and Agrippa said, "You know, almost you persuade me to be a Christian." And Paul said, "I wish that everyone here would be not almost, but altogether like I am, except these bonds." You see, Paul was able to see, how many would have thought that a king would be brought under conviction, that God would speak to him, and that he would almost come to the point of being a Christian? It's out of the ordinary. We don't expect it. God can't do that. God doesn't work that way. Where is it? In Titus, it says there that we're to pray for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority. God would have all men to be saved. You ever think about praying for President Obama's personal salvation? That he would be a Bible-believing Christian. Is that just totally beyond the realm of possibility? Out of the ordinary. It never happened. Is that kind of the idea we have, the thoughts that go through our mind? I realize that salvation is a personal choice. God does not force anyone, but do you just think God would never do that? God could never do that. God probably doesn't even speak to him. He probably don't even have a conscience. But you see, it's out of the ordinary. We can't hardly grasp it. Jesus said that if we have faith as a grain of mustard seed, and we have that in Matthew chapter 17, and the setting is there, that Jesus had been up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and while he was up there, the remaining disciples that were not with Jesus were down there, and there was a man brought his son that was possessed, and he wanted the disciples to cast him out, and they tried to do this, but it didn't work. Then when Jesus came down from the mountain, the Father ran to him. And he said, and Jesus cast out the demon. Afterwards, the disciples came to Jesus and they said, "Well, you know, why couldn't we do that?" Now, it seems to me they were trying to do something that they were kind of going through the form. They really didn't have faith that it had happened. Because Jesus said, "This kind doesn't come forth but by prayer and fasting." He said, "If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, then these type of things can happen." Jesus gave us a promise that if we shall ask anything in His name, He will do it. Now that's not just a blank check that we can ask for $1 million and it just drops out of the sky. But it's when our heart is in tune with God and we ask Him for His glory and according to His will, God will answer according to His will. Okay, how do we tie this together? We've talked about things that have happened that are out of the ordinary. So we know that God is able. He's the Almighty. He's infinite in power and wisdom. Do we believe that He can do what is beyond the ordinary and the routine? Do we have a vision of that? Do we look beyond just what we're used to and what we go through, and you know, nothing's going to happen beyond that? Remember that God's ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts than our thoughts. James writes that we don't have because we don't ask. And a lot of times our asking is with the wrong motives in mind. In Paul's prayer there in Ephesians chapter 3, he says that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Are we instruments in His hand? Are we able to look beyond the routine and just the way we always do things, to be an instrument in God's hand to accomplish something that's out of the ordinary? Now, we're not talking about just out trying to make a big show. Some beautiful verses in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 10 to 14. For thus saith the Lord, that after 7 years be accomplished to Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. I will be found of you, saith the Lord. I will turn away your captivity. So on. God has, and this was talking to the nation Israel, but I believe that God has thoughts for each one of us. And He has thoughts of giving us a good end, to work through us, to make things work out for us. God loves us, and He wants to use us. Can we see the events of each day? And we have our routines, but are we willing to branch out beyond that? Maybe it's the vehicle that's broke down along the road, or those chance things we say are just chance. We met somebody. Maybe it gets us out of our comfort zone a little bit, but can we see that through the day and be willing to go out of the routine and out of the normal, allow God to use us for His honor and His glory? In Psalm chapter 37, I think I'll conclude with this verse, I'd like to comment on it. But in Psalm 37, it's a beautiful, beautiful verse here. Verses 23 and 24. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I would say a good man is one who is listening to God and taking his signals from God. And it says, and he, there may be some differing opinions on who the he is there. At least some would think that's speaking about the Lord. The Lord delights in the way of a good man. So as you go about your life, your daily life, the routines of life, know that God is directing your path, and He's delighting in the steps that you're taking, the where your path is leading. God delights in that. He's interested in that. So can we say that life is all just a routine? I go to work in the morning. There's nothing. God can't really direct me to anyone. God can't speak through me to anyone. God can't use me to help someone. You know, I go to work at 7. I get in the truck and I do that punch in and everything's just routine. I hope I've somehow conveyed this morning that life isn't just routine. We want to be available for God. And that we can catch a vision of what God can do through me personally, from the youngest Christian here to the oldest. And that we have the faith to expect the unexpected. Does that make sense? I hope it does this morning, that it gets us out of our mundane thing of life and just be looking for opportunities. Be available for God to use you and the people you meet, the opportunities you have. That that's where I think that our routine and our forms can get in the way. We can't really step beyond that. Nothing's going to happen any different tomorrow than it did today. Let's be like the Apostle Paul. Lord, what do you want me to do? And believe God. Believe that He'll direct you. Believe that He'll help you. Believe that He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think. May the Lord bless you.
That was awesome.